I think as we've talked all week, we are coming off one of the greatest years in the history of the NFL. But we've also emphasized that was last year. Our entire focus this week was, what do we do to continue to make our game great? What do we continue to make it safer for our players? How do we continue to use innovation to improve every aspect of the league? And how do we continue to look forward to how our fans are changing and how our fans are evolving and using technology to be able to reach them? So we spent a great deal of time this week. As you all know, there weren't a lot of voting matters. There were several, but most of them came in the context of competition committee and in the context of making our game better. And I would say that the game got better this week. We had significant changes to improve the safety of the game for our players, which Rich will talk about. We certainly made some other changes that I think are going to improve the quality of the game also. So very positive changes and a very strong commitment on behalf of the ownership to continue to focus and continue to be aggressive in these changes. And the health and safety, we spent a great deal of time on that. We spent a significant amount of time talking about additional research. The membership agreed to funding additional research. We'll give you more details as we move along on exactly where we put that money, but we're obviously aggressively looking to find new ways to advance that research. Engaging the fans, going back to that, you know, we focus on the stadium experience. That's critically important to us. So how do we engage our fans in the stadium, continue to make that the best experience in all of sports, but also how do we use technology, how do we continue to make that experience at home better? Obviously, our network partners, our digital partners, they all do a terrific job of improving that experience. But we want to make sure that we continue to see where the fan is going, how we can reach our fans with our games and with our content and make that even a better experience and allow them to engage even more. On expansion side of how we continue to reach the new markets, we obviously spent a fair amount of time talking about Los Angeles and how we continue to address issues market by market here. But we also spent a great deal of time talking internationally. As you know, we'll continue to have our London series of three games. We're playing in Mexico this November. And we also talked about, within the next couple of years, the potential for a game in China, a regular season game in China. We're excited about that potential, and we'll continue to have dialogue on that. And then final note, we have agreed with the Rams that they will appear in Hard Knocks this year. So the Los Angeles Rams and their return to L.A. will be chronicled through the eyes of Hard Knocks and NFL Films, and we're excited about putting it on that platform.
Robert Kraft said this week that a little while back he sent you a letter asking you to, or the NFL, to restore the Patriots' first-round draft pick, maybe go easy on Tom Brady. Did you respond to his letter, and what do you think of the notion of giving them their pick back or at least reducing the penalty before the draft?
I did receive a letter from Robert a few weeks back. I also responded to him 2 weeks ago and told him that that I had considered his views. I didn't think there was any new information in there that would cause us to alter the discipline, and so there will be no changes to the discipline.
There's been talk also of potentially a settlement in court with Tom Brady. Can you speak to the possibility of that?
I'm not aware of that. Where is it?
Roger, Pat McManaman from Cleveland. Uh-huh. Johnny Manziel has had two incidents of domestic abuse. The second one's with a grand jury, and the Dallas police have a medical record that show the victim had a ruptured eardrum. Two questions. Where is the league in terms of investigating him? And also, why was he not disciplined back in October the first time this happened by the league?
Those investigations have been ongoing. I have not gotten an update since before the league meeting. I don't know where they are. Lisa Friel was out here, who's our lead investigator on these, and as you know, worked in the city of New York investigating these types of crimes. I have gotten updates from her from time to time, but she has not been able to conclude her investigation to a satisfactory level. When she does, if it results in discipline, we'll announce it at that point.
Roger, do you expect it over here?
I'm sorry.
Do you expect to penalize the Falcons for asking a player about his sexual orientation at the combine?
Yeah, we spent a fair amount of time on that this week. I spoke to Dan Quinn. I've actually spoken to the coach who was involved in this matter. I think the Falcons as an organization, Dan Quinn as a head coach, and the coach who was involved have all taken ownership of this issue, recognized the mistake that was made, been very forthcoming, have taken the appropriate steps to educate everyone. The coach and I spent probably 20 minutes on the phone talking about his learning experiences, how he can use this for a positive step. And I was impressed with the way he was handling it. The team has taken on training programs within the organization, which I think are all very satisfactory. So I don't see any further steps at the league level at this point.
Yeah, Roger, do you expect the Rams to host that potential...
I'm sorry, where are you?
Over here.
Yes.
Do you expect the Rams to host that potential game in China, and why is it important for you to explore that market?
Well, let me start with the second part. I think the size and the influence of China in the global marketplace is obviously something that you can't ignore. You can't ignore that as a sport or a business or... as a nation. So from our standpoint, we know we have lots of fans over there, and more importantly, potential fans over there. And so we've had a number of activities that are designed to increase the popularity of our game over there, to give them a better sense of our game. And a regular season game has proven to be a real driver to that type of activity. As far as the teams, we actually have multiple teams that are interested in playing. We have more than we can handle at this point in time, which is a good issue. I think teams are interested in, one, participating in how we expand our game on a global basis, but in particular in China. So we will have to go through that process over the next several months and, again, continue to get to the point where we believe if we do this, we can be successful. At this point, we do. And that's why we spoke about it publicly this week.
Hey, Roger, right here. We left at the Super Bowl, and we had the Thursday night deal with NBC and CBS, but we left it open with the broadcast of the broadband and the streaming and the OTT.
The digital. Yeah.
The digital. Mm-hmm. Can we get a update just on where that stands for the exclusive rights for Thursday night football?
Yeah, we've been spending a great deal of time on this. In fact, had a couple of conversations with some of our potential partners. The interest has been very strong. There are multiple ways in which different digital companies want to participate in this, the value that they can bring to our consumers, the experiences that we think we could initiate through this relationship. And what we're trying to do is figure out how to best make that a great consumer experience and who the right partner is that can deliver on that. Again, the number of partners has been so strong that it's taken a little bit longer than we actually thought. But that's a good problem for us.
Would that game still be broadcast by one of the broadcast partners and just streamed by one of these services?
Yes. The way we did the Thursday Night Football is that we have awarded the network piece of that to NBC and CBS. We also have the games on the NFL Network, and this is our TriCast model. So those are the first two pieces of the TriCast. The third is the digital. Being able to stream the game to their customers on a global basis. So there are a number of pieces that are associated with that, but we have the full rights with our network agreements to do that, and we expect to do something that I think, one, will be positive for our fans, but two, and probably as important to us, is how are we going to learn more about how this works? We think that this is a significant shift, obviously, in the media landscape. It's something that we have to be at the forefront of. We have. I think our experiment last year, forgive that term, but because I don't use it internally, but our game with Yahoo was a very important step in that. We were able to stream the game successfully from a technology standpoint, starting with that. A second, I think it was a great experience. We learned an awful lot about the global audience, We learned about how the audience and what platforms they're engaging on, whether it's a desktop or whether it's a tablet or whether it's a phone device. And as technology continues to get better, this is only going to be a growing opportunity for us. So we're going to take our time. There's no rush on it, but other than getting to the right combination. But I do see it in the context of the Thursday night package. There are some other potential opportunities where we can bring in other partners. You saw this week we announced with the Arizona Cardinals a new show on Amazon. That is another great opportunity to be talking with these digital companies about how we can be innovative and how we can reach new customers.
Back left. Roger here. Eric Williams, ESPN.
Hey, Eric.
My understanding is the owners received an update on stadium situations in San Diego, Oakland, and Los Angeles. In terms of the Chargers, have they submitted a stadium proposal to the league? If not, is there a timetable on when they will submit a proposal?
They do not have to submit a stadium proposal. We've been obviously working with the Chargers on their downtown alternative, continuing dialogue with the city also. This is something that I think is going to play out in the community for over some period of months here. We will try to play whatever role we can to be productive. We think it would be great to get a new facility built in San Diego. We've made that point that it's required for us to be able to keep the team there on a successful basis long term. But these decisions, to a large extent, are made with the team, but also with the community. What is best for the community? As you know, this is a project that it affects more than just a football stadium. It's about a convention facility. It's about the development of the downtown area. These are things that we'll try to bring whatever perspective we can from a league level standpoint, but also support the team as they're looking to try to reach that conclusion that makes sense for their community.
Yes, D. Orlando Ledbetter of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution right here. Robert.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. How closely is the league monitoring the religious liberty bill in Georgia, and could that, in fact, hurt or derail their Super Bowl bid?
That's something that the community is obviously focused on. The legislation, we're aware of that. We'll see when they make a decision on that. Our bid process, as you know, goes into April. All factors are considered. The membership makes a decision on the basis of each individual club, what they want to vote for. They will weigh certain issues, however they determine to weigh them. So that's something that each of the owners will have to make that decision in May.
Hey, Roger, there have been some conflicting remarks about CTE from the league. Jeff Miller at the Congressional Roundtable saying that he agrees that there is some linkage between football and CTE, and Jerry Jones then last night saying it's too soon. I think he used the word absurd to draw that definitive conclusion. Could you just say where the league stands on this issue and whether you feel that there is some linkage between football and CTE?
Well, Bob, I think, the most important thing for us is to support the medical and scientists to determine what those connections are. We think the statements that have been made through Jeff Miller and others have been consistent with our position over the years. We've actually funded those studies. So we not only are aware of those, we recognize them, and we support those studies. A lot of the research is still at its infancy, but we're trying to find ways to accelerate that. And that's part of what we're doing with investing in additional research this week. But we're also not waiting for the research. We're going ahead and making the changes to our game. We're making the changes to our rules, which you've heard about today. We made changes in 2011 that affected the way we train our athletes. Several coaches and I had conversations today about how it's changing the way they're teaching the techniques that are used on the field and in training, all very positive changes. You've also seen a lot of the changes we've made in equipment, and there are more to come. There are changes with fields, changes with helmets. Some of you may have been able to see a tech lab today where the Vices helmet was out there. So there's exciting technological changes that are going to, I think, make our game safer, and we're advancing that. We're driving that. And so our view is to try to continue to do that. We'll support science and medicine and allow them to make those decisions and try to see what we can do to support that and advance that.
Mark Hubbard? Roger, Bart Hubbock with the New York Post.
I hear you, Bart, but I can't see you.
Over.
Okay, so you.
There was a report last week that the NFL was negotiating with the NFLPA to strip you of your disciplinary authority. You know, is there any truth to that, and how do you feel about it? I mean, do you want to retain that authority?
Bart, listen, I think I said at the Super Bowl that we're not going to negotiate positions publicly. On the other hand, I've also been very open over the last several years, and we have had discussions about the discipline process for decades. We began, after we signed our collective bargaining agreement in 2011, to discuss how we could modify the existing plan. And we're always open to that. And I've said that before. If we can find a better discipline system, let's do it. We are not close to an agreement by any stretch of the imagination on any changes to that as it relates to a third party or other individuals making those decisions. But we are open to them. We'll continue to have that dialogue directly with the union. And if we can come up with a better system, we'll announce it at that point.
Roger, Tony Grossi, ESPN Cleveland. Could you give us an update on a decision on Josh Gordon's reinstatement? It's been over 60 days since he applied.
Yeah, I actually have scheduled, when I get back to New York sometime in the next week or so, to get an update on that. Our staff has been working on it. We obviously are aware of it, and they have been working on it. As soon as we have an opportunity to see that, we'll make a judgment, but no decision yet.
Hey, Roger.
Right here. I'm sorry. Yes.
Hey, Kansas City Star here. Just curious, man. Mark Hunt said that the Chiefs have filed an appeal on the tampering charges, and I was wondering, A, if you plan on hearing that appeal yourself, or will you point a designee? And B, if you expect that ruling to be done by the draft?
I do not know if it's scheduled yet. I know there's they did appeal, and we'll accommodate the date. I do expect I would hear it. I haven't thought of any other alternatives at this point in time. It's an important policy to us. It's important from a competitive standpoint, so I would expect I will hear it. And if they would like to do it in advance of the draft, we'll do that.
I'm also curious. You guys made a few changes to the legal tampering policy this year. You shortened it a day. I was curious what the impetus for those changes were, and do you feel that the changes were effective? You feel it went well?
Were you talking about the changes from last year?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, this is, listen, I've been in the league 34 years now. There are not many years where I don't think we talked about changes to the tampering policy. It's right up there with replay, player safety. These are important issues to our league and the foundation of our league. So we regularly talk about it. One of the things I like to say I'm proud of is that the league continues to make very positive changes. The rule changes this week are a great example of it. We may have had our most competitive season ever last year, but we still looked and figured out how we make it more competitive. And that's, I think, the hallmark of our league. So the tampering policy is something that has changed over the years. It will undoubtedly continue to change over the years. And part of it changes because of the system. You know, a free agency created changes in the way we have to apply our tampering policy. We still see that. So there are frequently changes to that. I think it's been positive, and it's something that I think our clubs respect, and we're going to enforce it when we see clear violations.
Ian Rappaport, NFL Network. Mm-hmm. A couple coaches this week have been pretty outspoken about wanting, one, more practice time, and two, more contact with players. Bill O'Brien said he'd like to get players in the building before the middle of April. Bruce Arians wanted more contact practices just for teaching players. I know it's a CBA issue, but have you seen anything in the game that would make you say, all right, these guys are right in wanting more contact with players, and what are your personal thoughts on those, please?
Yeah, Ian, you make a very good point. We had a very good discussion this week with the coaches, general managers, and owners in the room on our special Tuesday session. This was a pretty lengthy dialogue. And it comes in two levels. First, you made a point about the coaches would like to have more opportunity in the offseason to be able to coach them. Let me put that in one bucket. That is not unusual. We've heard that before. We've heard it when we signed our collective bargaining agreement in 2011. And I respect it. Coaches like to coach. And so they want to be on the field and they want to be out working to try to improve their team. We made an agreement with our players. We're going to respect it, and we're going to have all 32 teams operating on that same level playing field. The second issue which came up, and I thought was incredibly thoughtful, which is, and it came out of the context of the Rams this year, with their relocation to Los Angeles, they had a special session which was approved by the Players Association, where they could bring their players in, and it was non-football. It was about talking about the relocation of the team, how it impacts each of those players, where they'll be training, the timing, and it was very productive. But it was also a chance for, and Jeff made this point, that they were able to get the players together collectively, and it was a positive thing. And they had the structure, and there was a great deal of excitement. It was positive for the players to have that structure back again. The context is, could we do that? Could we expand our player engagement programs to give them more opportunities to focus on life skills, on ways in which they can look beyond the game of football and improve themselves, improve their lives, and their communities? And so that is something that we'll continue to have dialogue with the union, as you know. That is a CBA issue, but we think there's some real possibility there, and I think the coaches were very articulate on that this week.
Go two more, Josh from Detroit, and then Jared.
Josh Katzenstein, Detroit News. Roger, Ernie, of course, he said a few months ago that you had approached him about helping the Lions in their GM search. Why was it important to you that they got some assistance for that search?
That's not unusual. I would say that very frequently, and multiple times a year, I'm asked by ownership to assist when they're going through the process. My perspective on what the priorities should be, how they should do it. As you know, I don't get involved in football decisions. I don't. That's not my position to do, but I am very happy to give them some insight into people who have the kind of knowledge that I think can help them and would guide them through that process. There have been discussions about using outside sources as a search firm, as an example. When you're dealing with a subset of football personnel, I think it's people like Ernie Accorsi who understand the personnel, understand what it's like to put an organization together, what's the appropriate structure, who these individuals are. I think they serve a much more valuable function. And Ernie is someone that I have the highest regard for. His experience, his integrity, and his ability to help. And I have, among other people, recommended Ernie on a frequent basis over the years. And I'll continue to do that because we want all our clubs to organize, structure, and get to a better place. But I do that with all 32 teams equally.
Jared Bell, last question here on the left.
Over here, Roger.
Where are you, Jared?
Right here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mark Davis has been exploring the possibility, the prospects in Las Vegas as a potential, perhaps in the future. How concerned or open-minded do you think the NFL would be with the idea of having a franchise in a city with an economy largely driven by gambling, with the implications regarding sports betting?
Well, Jared, Mark Davis is appropriately looking at all his alternatives. We were very open about that when we were in Houston, and we made the decision to return the Rams to Los Angeles. Both for San Diego and Oakland, they need to evaluate those alternatives. I think their ultimate decision is a long ways off. There are several cities that have a tremendous interest in the Raiders. I'm hopeful also that Oakland will be one of those and that we can avoid any relocation to start with. Those are ultimately decisions about where they go and the impact that the potential gambling that we'd have to deal with. We'd have to understand it. We'd have to understand what the impact is on us, and ultimately each owner would have a vote on that.
Does that represent a philosophical shift with the NFL?
No. Relocations are always, as you know, and we experienced it this January, one, painful, but two, subject to 32 teams' view of that. They each make their own decision on that. We would obviously, that would be a factor that I think many owners would have to balance, the league would have to balance. But until we got a hard proposal that really put that in front of us, we'd have to understand what the ramifications of that are.